The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Welcome to Always Right with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
Always right, all the time. That means never left. It also means never wrong. What we do is sourced, cited, and accurate all the time. Thanks for being with us. 8 minutes after 10 o'clock, hour number two is underway. It is a Monday, the 10th morning of the first month of the year of our Lord, 2022. We had a great conversation with Jim Jordan, Congressman Jordan, last half hour. If you missed it, and any conversation that you may miss, don't forget, check out the Always Right podcast page on WHKRadio.com, WHKRadio.com. It is an honor to speak to my next guest. I have watched her do interviews on television for a very long time. She is one of the most knowledgeable political pundits working. She is a political science expert. As a matter of fact, Dr. Carol M. Swain describes herself on Twitter as being a political scientist and an American patriot. But that just scratches the surface. She's also a former professor of poli-sci and law at Vanderbilt University. Prior to that, at Princeton University's Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs. And Dr. Carol Swain joins us now on AM 1420, The Answer. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I am doing great, and I hope you are too, and your listeners.
Absolutely, we are, and I really appreciate you coming on. As I said, I've admired you and just really, really found myself nodding in agreement with just about everything you say in the interviews that I see on TV, so I'm glad to be able to talk with you about CRT. And not just CRT. I think everybody knows what a huge role CRT played in, for example, the Virginia gubernatorial election just a couple of months ago, as Glenn Youngkin won, in large part, I think, because, you know, the parents in certain school districts in Virginia were outraged that CRT was being pushed and practiced. The losing candidate, Terry McAuliffe, said that's not being practiced in Virginia. And, of course, countless amounts of evidence proved that it was. So everybody knows about CRT, Dr. Swain, but you recently wrote a piece about CQT and CFT, that there are other avenues of critical theory that we have to be very aware of if we're going to protect our kids from the same type of indoctrination that it comes with critical race theory. So can you tell us first about critical queer theory?
Well, I would say that the other critical theories were also a factor in the Virginia race, mm-hmm. because if you looked at what the parents were saying and the examples they were bringing forward from the textbooks, some of those examples had to do with the sexualization of their children. And you may recall that there was a controversy also in Virginia that had to do with a transgender student that raped another student.
Yes,
and that
exactly
was sort
right.
of repressed. That was kind of kept out of the news. And so parents are upset generally about what's taking place in their schools, and so their examples have always included more than just race. And with critical queer theory, the focus is on, it fits the model of a critical theory because heterosexuals are considered oppressors, homosexuals are considered victims, and so the narrative is very similar to what the narrative we get with the critical race theory, and there is an agenda pretty much to normalize homosexuality, and we've done that largely, you know, through the courts, but it's being introduced to children as young as kindergarten. And parents that monitor sex education and what their children are being taught, they're seeing this. And I would argue that a lot of the critical theory started during the Obama administration from some of his appointees, mm-hmm. and we see that being played out. You asked me about critical feminist theory.
Hold on if you would, Dr. Swain. Let's dig a little deeper into the critical queer theory, because you're 1,000% right, by the way. It was a big, big part of it, especially that father who was taken down after he came to the board complaining, of course, about his daughter being raped and about them sweeping it under the rug, transferring the student where he committed another assault. So you're very, very correct about that with the transgender agenda. But I want to go a little further into critical queer theory. In your most recent article, You gave an example, a teacher named Nalo, I think it is, who calls herself Professor Nalo. Can you tell us more about that story?
Well, it's very interesting because she pretty much boasts about how she uses the classroom to win her students over, and how she talks about her wife to the students, and these young children defend her. And so it's clearly a manipulation of the young mind. They love that teachers. Students naturally want to please teachers and adult, role models, the people that are in front of them. Mm-hmm. And so we have a teacher there who isn't a professor, but she wants to call herself a professor, who's been very open about her agenda. And that's just one example. And we find that in the realm of education now, you have teachers that have gone into K through 12 teaching for the purpose of indoctrinating your child and mine.
Yeah, that's so important. We're talking with Dr. Carol M. Swain, a political scientist and professor. Dr. Swain, what made this particular part of your article so interesting to me is it underscores that it's not just introducing critical queer theory or the LGBTQ agenda to, you know, children as young as kindergarten. It would be one thing to introduce it to them, which I think is still highly inappropriate because young children have no idea what sex is or sexuality and so forth. They certainly don't know about science yet at those very young ages and about chromosomes and so on. But it's one thing to introduce it. It's another thing to literally try to steer them into it. They are recruiting, I think, at these very young ages, new transgenders and new non-binaries and queers and so forth, so that they can grow their numbers and thus their power.
Well, the thing about it, too, is that it's dangerous, the critical queer theory, because they are causing and encouraging young people to question whether or not they're really male or female. And they talk in terms of the gender assigned you at birth. And so instead of, science, DNA, and the Y and X chromosome and the biological identifiers that have made people male or female, they're saying, that was assigned at birth and that your gender is socially constructed. But the mental games they're playing with young children to cause them to question whether they're really a boy or whether they're really a girl. And I've heard stories of children coming home, in tears, thinking that they might turn into the other sex. Like, a little girl may think that she could turn into a little boy because the teachers are telling them you can be whatever you want to be, or that your doctor or your parents assigned your sex rather than you were born into a particular binary category.
Very well stated, Dr. Carol M. Swain. You also then cover in the most recent piece, which prompted me to reach out to see if you'd come on the program to talk about this CFT. Now, that's critical feminist theory. Can you explain that to us?
I want listeners to know that critical race theory, critical queer theory, critical gender theory, it's not calling itself that in the classroom. That these ideas from university-level ideas have been distilled into books and articles and lessons and, show and tell to these children, but it doesn't call itself that. And with critical feminist theory, we hear them talk about toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. And so some of the actions that little boys engage in or males have typically engaged in that, we associate with boys, associate with girls, there's an effort to call that toxic masculinity. And according to this narrative, men are the oppressors women are the victims. And so it just follows that same oppressive victim narrative, and it results in shaming and bullying of the group that's considered the oppressor. And it's all done in the name of equity. And we know that equity is not about equal opportunities. It's about equal outcomes. But to bring about the equity that they want, it means pressing down the persons that are in the oppressor class and giving, you know, more power and authority and respect to those that are considered victims.
You know, and Dr. Swain, you're right. You're right that males are treated by CFT as misogynistic oppressors, and women are always victimized by them, which is kind of how critical race theory works with white and people of color. But you point out also that the agenda stops when it comes to trans males, or trans females rather, biological males wanting to compete with females. Suddenly the concern for women being oppressed, suddenly the concern for females not being given fair shots and opportunities goes right out the window, because they've intersected now. What matters more to them? The women's rights, the feminist rights, or the trans rights to come and dominate their sports?
Well, I mean, it's just insane what is taking place. And even if you go back to that Virginia case, once the legal authorities got involved with that rape and they found out that that transgender female, the transgender male, or what it, I get these things confused.
I know, I do too, and that's kind of their goal. I don't know, if you're a male who thinks he's a female, I think they call you a trans female. If you're a female who thinks you're male, trans male.
Female.
So, yeah.
That had been involved with rapes of one other person and had been shifted from school to school.
Mm-hmm.
Once the legal authorities got involved, they started calling this trans female a male. All of a sudden, it wasn't a she, it was a he. And so they play games with language, especially the media. And, I mean, it's just so totally insane and totally ridiculous. And you find these headlines where these trans males are given birth, you know, and they're talking about, in one particular case, that it was the most masculine thing that they ever did. And it's like in messing with people's mind and brains. There's no logic to it all. And they're doing that, some of it, in front of our children. I mean, how can our children grow up, you know, to be normal and to be able to understand and appreciate science when science fails them, you know, at the most, you know, at the most critical stage?
Right. And, you know, Dr. Swain, we're talking with Dr. Carol Swain this morning on AM 1420, The Answer, political scientist, political science professor, law professor. I want to play something for you because this is important. You're right, and you're correct, in my view, that parents need to advocate for their children. They must, quote, know the enemy. They have to be well-versed in what's going on in their schools. And the simultaneous good news, bad news here is that it's out in the open. It's in their face. This is a TikTok posted, a TikTok video. I'm going to play a short portion of it for you. Posted by a teacher who is an obvious female. I guess it's an obvious female looking at the video I'm looking at. But this is, they're out there announcing what they're doing to our kids. So it's impossible for parents to not know what's going on. Give this a quick listen, Dr. Swain.
My name is Magistra Y. I'm non-binary, and I am a high school teacher. So today, I thought I'd tell you a little bit about what I've done and what my school has done to make me feel comfortable out as non-binary at my school. The first thing is really easy. I wear a pronoun pin every day. This works as a visual cue for my students. When I introduced myself to my students, I also gave them some example sentences for those students who weren't as familiar with using they-them pronouns. So I told them, you could say, oh, I have Magistra Y's class next. They teach Latin. I wanted to have a few visual cues in my classroom to show students that it is a welcoming and inclusive place. So one of the things I did was I put put a pride flag on my desk.
So she's got a great big rainbow pride flag there that she drapes across her desk. She wears pronoun pins. She wants her children to see her not as a female teacher, but as a non-binary. So, Dr. Swain, this is new ground. This isn't somebody just with gender dysphoria who is a female who thinks that she might be a male. She's saying, I'm not female and I'm not male. I am a scientific anomaly. I'm just me, whatever that is. And you have to accept me as such, and your children have to accept me as I think that I am, or else they're going to be the ones who are canceled and cast out, and they're going to be the ones who are called homophobic bigots.
Well, I mean, there has been sort of like a sea change in what's allowed in public education, and that's why so many parents, including Black and Hispanic parents, in fact, more of them are fleeing the public schools. They're fleeing the public schools, and many people feel that they cannot be saved. And at the same time, you find this radical agenda where they are pressing, you know, their narratives about sexual identity, about race and male or female or relationship. You find them, you know, totally Christianity is squelched. Other religions is more welcoming, and they use social studies and cultural studies to talk about other religions, but there's no place for Christianity or for a Christian teacher talking about their faith or their marriage or how they view life, yet these other teachers can proselytize and it seems to be okay. It's not okay.
It's not okay. And that's the most alarming thing about this. Again, they're out there. They are publicly announcing, this is who I am and what I'm doing to your children. This, she's supposed to teach them Latin, not phony, you know, pseudo biology, which is what she is doing here. And parents need to wake up and they need to challenge, all of this at every turn. People like this, in my estimation, Dr. Swain, shouldn't even be near children, much less in charge of educating children.
They shouldn't, and often they will put forth the racial and ethnic minorities because it's harder to challenge them. And so the progressives are very calculating, and they carefully choose who they're going to put out front. And in this particular case, I often find the most extreme cases are people that are racial and ethnic minorities that are espousing those views.
Parents must be knowledgeable enough to anticipate the would-be indoctrinators and cut short their attempts to advance. Those are the words of Dr. Carol Swain in a terrific piece about CRT, which, of course, is manifesting itself in many other critical theories as well, including queer theory and feminist theory. Dr. Swain, it's been an honor talking with you. Please keep up the great work, the great writings, and hopefully we can call on you again sometime to talk about these important
issues. And I hope you will tell people about my book, Black Eye for America, How Critical Race Theory is Burning Down the House.
You know what? I want to do that again. I didn't hear the type Black Out America.
Black Eye for America.
Oh, Black Eye for America.
Race theory is burning down the house, and it is written for parents.
I'm so glad you said that. I was not aware, and I apologize for that. I do see it now. I looked it up as you spoke. Black Eye for America, How Critical Race Theory is Burning Down the House by Dr. Carol M. Swain. Terrific. Thank you. And I will indeed encourage people to pick that book up and read it, especially parents. It is crucial if you're going to save your kids. Dr. Swain, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Dr. Carol Swain on AM 1420 The Answer. Didn't realize there was a new book out. It came out in August, but I see it now. Black Eye for America, How Critical Race Theory is Burning Down the House. Quick time out. Right back. AM 1420, The Answer.
When the stupidity of the left hurts.
Oh, God, that hurt a little, but I'm all right.
Always Right with Bob France.
Oh, God, that felt good. Yeah.
On AM 1420, The Answer.
Oh, yeah. 10:28. Got bottom of the hour news coming up in a couple. I am guest free in the bottom or after the bottom of the hour news, so the last half hour is yours. 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. Either one of those. You want to talk about either one of the interviews we did, any of the issues I covered with Jim Jordan, any of the issues I covered with Dr. Carol Swain, I will certainly take your calls on those, and of course anything else that you see fit to ask about. Including and especially Sonia Sotomayor. I'm still just mind-boggled by what we heard from her during the Supreme Court hearings. Real quick, though, that's on the mandates. Real quick, though, what Dr. Swain was just talking about is so extraordinarily important. Parents must be knowledgeable enough to anticipate the would-be indoctrinators and cut short their attempts to advance. Only then can we hope to reverse the trend of CRT and these other critical theories in K-12 education. Parents have to become as well-versed in the dangers of all of the Marxist and postmodern theories that have invaded K-12 education as they are in CRT. And that's kind of what I meant in my introduction with Dr. Swain. I think everybody knows what CRT does, where it came from and what its intent is, and how dangerous it is. But as she points out, and so many others who have done great deep dives into the history of critical theory, this isn't, you know, a standalone. Critical theory can be used to advance a whole number of divisive, policies, if you will. Critical queer theory seeks to create a perpetual victim class of people who are LGBTQ, PQXYZ, exclamation point, ampersand, et cetera, and anybody who doesn't acquiesce to their wishes of being called they, them, see, zay, zig, zag, zoom, zamba. Anybody who doesn't go with their pronouns, they are the oppressors. And they have to be treated as such, and they need to be tamped down. And then critical feminist theory. If you're a man, I'll tell you what, if you're straight, white, and male, you're done. Because if you're white, you're going to be classified as an oppressor of critical race theory. If you're straight, you are going to be classified as an oppressor to critical queer theory. And if you are male, you are going to be classified as an oppressor in critical feminist theory. Critical feminist theory, as Dr. Swain explained, essentially teaches that to females of all ages that they are victims, and males of all ages, you seek to devalue and dehumanize those females, so you are an oppressor. Misogynistic oppressors, women are always victims, and males have to be silenced. That's why there are examples, and Dr. Swain talked about this too, there are examples of teachers and professors who proudly broadcast their refusal to call on white males in class. Because white males need to be silenced. Nobody needs to hear their opinions anymore. If you're white and male, you need to shut up, stand down, let the feminists, let the women speak. Let them be heard. Quit mansplaining to all of us. So this critical theory is just turning all of us against one another at every turn, and it's being taught to your children, not just race, but all of the other critical theories as well. Let's respond to that at 216-901-0945, right after the news, AM 1420, The Answer.
Mainstream media is always left. Tune your radio to the right and find a voice of reason amid the liberal chaos. Always Right with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
And so they play games with language, especially the media. And, I mean, it's just so totally insane and totally ridiculous. And you find these headlines where these trans males are giving birth, you know, and they're talking about, in one particular case, that it was the most masculine thing that they ever did. And it's like messing with people's mind and brains. There's no logic to it all. And they're doing that, some of it, in front of our children. I mean, how can our children grow up, you know, to be normal and to be able to understand and appreciate science when science fails them, you know, at the most, you know, the most critical stage?
Yeah, not only being done in front of children sometimes, being intentionally done in front of and to children all the time. That's the real issue there. That was Dr. Carol M. Swain, who joined me last half hour on AM 1420, The Answer, talking about critical race theory, critical queer theory, critical feminist theory, and how all of them are being used to indoctrinate our kids. And I'm going to give you an example real quick before I go to the phones. And we are guest-free this half hour, so this is a good time for you to call. If you're on hold, I see you there. If you're not on hold, you should get there. 216-901-0945-888-281-1110. But just a kind of a little example here. When she's talking about this being done sometimes in front of children, The goal is to do this in front of children. That's why I played that clip of that quote-unquote non-binary teacher warping and twisting the minds of her young students. She's, you know, a first-grade teacher, for crying out loud, and she's forcing her children to call her by things that are simply not grammatically correct when it comes to pronouns, or they're made-up words, all to support her. I want to be different. I want to be special. Look at me. Non-binary status. This stuff is being done in front of children and to children because they're trying to recruit new members. Why? What do you mean? I'm a member of Citizens for Free Speech. I tell you this all the time. I ask you to become a member of Citizens for Free Speech. I ask you that all the time. Go to citizensforfreespeech.org if you are not yet a member. You should be. It's free. And when you sign up, your information that you put in there will not be shared with any other organizations. We're not interested in sharing or selling your info to some other 501c3 so that you can become a member of them, too. No, we're by ourselves, and we just want you to be a part of it. And the reason why I ask you that is because the more members there are of Citizens for Free Speech in each locality, the more power they wield. The more people being involved in local activist projects, the more chance there is, the more likely it is that they'll get action when it comes to policy at library boards, school boards, city councils, townships, whatever the case might be, state houses. The more members there are of an activist group, the better their chances are of getting things done for the betterment of their you know, in their view of society. And the view of the Citizens for Free Speech, of course, is defense of our rights. All of our rights, but specifically, as CFFS would detail, you know, the First Amendment, which is under serious attack. All five tenets of the First Amendment are under attack. So the more members there are, the stronger we become. So now let's take that and go over to the critical queer theory and the critical feminist theory and the other things, but particularly critical queer theory. The trans people, the non-binaries, the I'm one day, I'm the other another day, I'm a chest feeder, not a breastfeeder, I'm a man who did a masculine thing called giving birth. I mean, all of this crap, this psychological delusional garbage that we hear all of the time, you're not going to get new members to choose that as adults. Because adults, by that time, generally speaking, understand human biology and anatomy and chromosomal science and so forth. So how do you create and recruit new members to have more power to advance your bizarre theories and lifestyles? You get kids before they know any better. And you get kindergartners and 5- and 6-year-olds. And you tell them, you know, if you're a little boy, you don't have to be. What do you think about trying to be a little girl for a while? We'll call you she and her is your pronouns, and we'll change your name. Don't tell mom and dad. We'll just practice this at school. I'm not making that up. That's happening. Eyewitness accounts of it happening. Because little kids don't know any better. That's critical queer theory in action. And anybody who then denies that child his right to be what some teacher or some other weird adult authority figure in their life tries to tell them they can or should be, then that critic becomes an oppressor, and we must be silenced if we're oppressors, according to critical theory. That example that Dr. Swain gave me about the teacher named Nalo, she's a first-grade teacher. She's a first-grade teacher, and she tweeted a photo of herself and this comment: "My students call me Professor Nalo because I prefer not to use Mrs. or Mr. in my classroom. I teach all subjects as a first grade teacher." First grade! 6-year-olds, maybe 7-year-olds. "I teach all subjects as a first grade teacher, but my favorite moments are always when my students ask about my queerness." End quote. Nobody asks her about her queerness. No 6-year-old looks and says at the teacher and says, "Are you queer? Tell me about being queer. Can I be queer?" That doesn't happen. Teachers literally have to try to force this information upon young children for the purposes of trying to make it sound appealing to them. Wouldn't it be fun to be something else? Maybe tomorrow, if you're a little boy, you can be a girl. Maybe the next day you can be a boy if you're a little girl. Maybe the next day we can all be puppies. Kids don't think those things on their own. Kids are having this stuff forced upon them. This is a first grade teacher teaching kid and then saying, my students ask me about my queerness. No, they don't. You teach them about your queerness in an attempt to indoctrinate them to create more people with queer identities so that you will then have more company and then be able to try to expand your strange, odd, mentally deficient, and delusional lifestyle to other people. It's so dangerous. And critical feminist theory is no better. Males, toxic masculinity, they have to stop mansplaining to women, stop dehumanizing them, stop devaluing them, stop suppressing them and their thoughts and their ideas, stop making more money than them, stop being stronger than... No, they can be stronger than them. Because then they can compete against them and dominate them in women's sports. Then critical feminist theory is out the window. I read this article three different times before I had Dr. Swain on, and I'm still flabbergasted every time I read it. And I don't want to read it anymore. I don't want to read it anymore, but parents better read it, and parents better understand, because they're the only thing standing between their kids and full-on indoctrination into these lifestyles. Okay, TJ's in Cleveland. TJ, you're on the air. Go ahead and answer.
Yeah, hi, Bob. You know, Bob, the one that bugs me the most is this toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
You know, the only toxic masculinity I've seen that encountered are white libtard females. They're highly aggressive. Most of them got really big mouths. They've managed to neuter their husbands and their boyfriends, and now they want to do that to the rest of us. But that's the only toxic masculinity, like I says, I've encountered. And, you know, with this Joe Biden talking about the Trump supporters and stuff, the biggest threat to the republic, in my view, the biggest threat to the republic is the white liberal. That's who's destroying the republic in this country. They're destroying our schools, our entertainment, our sports, everything. They're out there to destroy. They're like a plague of locusts. And then they move from one area to another, and they destroy it, and they move on. You know, the locusts come from California. They went to Arizona, Colorado. And what do? They destroyed it. And now the swarm is trying to move to states like Texas, Tennessee,
Florida.
And they'll do the same thing. They'll descend, like I said, like a plague of locusts on an area, and they just totally destroy everything where they land. I don't know about you, Bob, but I'm going to continue to portray toxic masculinity.
Well, you know what, TJ, and great examples, by the way, all the way around. Thanks so much for the phone call. You're right. It's an interesting comparison to the locusts, and they destroy, you know, one area before they move on and destroy another. And by the way, there was a great interview that I saw last night on Life, Liberty, and Levin with Ron DeSantis, who they covered a lot about that, about people flocking to Florida, fleeing blue states like you're talking about, where things have been destroyed. And the only question is they going to go down to Florida and then try to create another blue area like the one that they just escaped? That's what they're doing to Texas. Texas used to be deep red. Now it's threatening to be purple. So many blue locusts, to use TJ's analogy, are fleeing places like California, and they're going to Texas so much so, and then they're voting Democrat, and they're voting liberal, and they're funding, you know, Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke, all the rest of this nonsense, you know, which, of course, is only going to create the same type of headaches that they sought to escape from their original place that they destroyed. So you're right, and as it pertains to criminal. Ooh, that's a better word for it. Rather than critical race theory, criminal race theory. I just stumbled onto something. I just misspoke and tripped over my tongue, and I think I came up with a better way to say critical race theory. Criminal race theory, criminal queer theory, and criminal feminist theory, which is the one I was going for there. Telling males that they are indeed toxic and that they are indeed oppressors. It's the same thing. You don't have to do anything wrong. You were born male, and thus you were born as a misogynist who thinks less of women, who looks down on women, who hurts women as many ways as you possibly can, physically, emotionally, financially, in any way you can. And women, you'll never have a fair shake as long as men are around. Men are always going to subjugate you. You're going to make less. you're going to have more responsibilities. You're going to have fewer freedoms, fewer opportunities in business and in CEOs and world, the world and so forth. You'll never catch up. You're always going to be victims. Critical theory thrives on creating that division between the haves and have-nots. Whites, oppressors. Blacks, victims. Males, oppressors. Females, victims. Straight people, oppressors. Queer people, victims. And on down the line we go. That's the danger of it all. Criminal race theory. That's it. I just tripped on myself here, and I think we have a new T-shirt. Chris in Wellington, if you're listening. Chris Gorin of Special Effects Printing in Wellington is the one. When I tripped over myself, I didn't trip over myself, but I just kind of said impromptu, they don't want science, they want compliance when it comes to the jabs. I said I should turn that into a T-shirt. Chris called me and said, how many you want? She made them up, and we sold a bunch of them at the Medina County Friends and Neighbors thing on Saturday. I think it's time for another one. It's not critical. It's criminal race theory, because it is criminal what they're doing to the population with it. Yeah, that might be. I know the music's playing, but I don't want to make Andy wait through the break. He's been sitting there patiently in Middleburg Heights. So, Andy, let me take your call here before the break. Andy, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Bob. A belated Happy New Year to you. Didn't get a chance to call you right after the first of the year.
Well, I appreciate it.
To you and yours. Hey, Bob, you know, at my age, I'm getting so tired of all these different things. All you got to do is open up the Bible. You know, people have gotten away from morality and everything else. Open up the Bible, read a few verses in that Bible, and get educated. And I thank you for being a voice of education for the people out there. I feel that we've got some common sense. We can figure it out. But thank God you're out there to explain this in every way possible for people who don't have a clue of what's going on. And I thank God that you're on the air and you're not afraid to say how you feel. The rest of these guys on there, it seem like they're being politically paid, but you're a man's man as far as I'm concerned. That you're not afraid to get out there and say things the way they are. And
well,
I thank you for that.
And I thank you for the call, Andy, and I appreciate the kind words, too. I mean, look, it's not heroism. I mean, honestly, this is what we should all be doing in whatever platform we have. I happen to have a microphone and the transmitter and 25 years of having it, by the way, which is bizarre. I've been in radio for 25 years now. So I've grown a platform. But people have their own platforms in the places where they work, within their families, within their email contacts, within their social media contacts, unless you get shut down. By the way, Getter. I'm on Getter, and I'm making more and more use of Getter. G-E-T-T-R, Getter. It's a new social media app. Conservatives are flocking to it, especially those who have been censored by Facebook and Twitter. I'm on Getter at Always Right WHK. Always Right WHK. Download Getter, G-E-T-T-R, and meet me there. I'll be right back.
When the government is so bad, you just have to laugh. Always Right with Bob France.
I'm laughing too.
On AM 1420. Answer.
The difference is, Brandon, we are laughing at you, not with you. We're laughing at you. We're laughing at your vice president too. And we're laughing at her in part about her laughing. I want to follow up and wrap up our show today, as it's 10:56 now, with a perfect example of the last thing I talked about with Dr. Swain, which was critical feminist theory, which teaches that males are oppressive, they are misogynistic, and so on and so forth. Women will always be victimized and never have an opportunity for equality, blah, blah, blah. Just as an example of that mentality, it's practiced by our Vice President, Kamala Harris. Headline from today, but it's actually referencing something that Kamala Harris said about a week and a half ago. Conservative liberal female figure, I'm sorry, let me do this again. Conservative liberal female figures weigh in on VP Harris report that her race and gender affect headlines. What this means is conservative and liberal females have come to varying conclusions about the validity of Vice President Kamala Harris's reported belief that she's treated worse by the press because of her race and her gender.
A recent report by the New York Times suggested that Harris, who was the first female person of color to be vice president, has been privately complaining to her allies that the media's coverage of her, and thus her polling, which is in the 20s, her popularity is in the 20s, would be better if she were any of her 48 white male predecessors. In other words, it's her status as a person of color. I can't really call her black or African. I mean, what is she? Where's she's an islander, Jamaican, I think, right? Jamaican father, white mother is, I think, what it is. So, but whatever. She calls herself a person of color. Fine. I don't care. And she's a female. Hey, at least she acknowledges that and doesn't call herself, non-binary. But she's claiming that she is being mistreated by the press and by voters and by Americans who don't understand her brilliance and the great job that she has done as vice president, because they're blinded by her gender and her color, and they don't like that. They don't like a person of color and a female having such a powerful role in government as vice president. That's the reason she's not treated better. That's it. She's embodying critical gender and critical race theory at the same time. If she was white, she believes she would be treated better. If she was a male, she would be treated better. But the fact that she's 0 for 2, she's the wrong color and the wrong gender, means that she's never going to get a fair shake. How about the fact that when it comes to your job, you just suck at it? You were given one job. You were given one job. Deal with the border crisis. You spent 90 days in office before you would even go down there, and then you went to a sector that wasn't where the crisis was happening. You've done nothing to stop the steady pouring in of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of illegal aliens into this country, bringing drugs, trafficking human beings, and more. We don't care if you're black, blue, purple, green, male, female, or other. We care if you do your job. You're terrible at your job. And that has nothing to do with any critical theory. That's all the time I've got. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate you being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Let's go, Brandon.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.